Well, a lot of times we get into the Christian life and we think, oh, okay, I got to try harder. I got to do these things. They call disciplines, and I got to be disciplined, so I need to do these things. But it's not about trying harder. It's not about doing things better. What it is, it's about walking daily in step with the Spirit. Paul talks about this in Galatians, and we're going to land in Galatians chapter 5 today. And so we are in this series where we want to go from just saying we believe to being transformed. And what does that look like? And today we are going to talk about walking by the Spirit. Have you ever really tried hard to change something? I know many of us have been on that diet yo-yo kind of thing. You diet for a while, lose a little bit of weight, feel good about yourself, so you reward yourself with cookies and ice cream. The next thing you know, you got to go back on the diet again, and you're trying hard to do these things. You're trying hard to be better. You're trying hard not to be angry. You're trying hard to be more uplifting. You're trying hard to have more patience. You're trying hard, and you're trying, and you're trying, and you're trying, and for a while, it works. We set little reminders. Beep, beep, time to get into my Bible study. Beep, beep, time to read my devotion for the day. Beep, beep, it's time to pray. I don't have time to pray. I'm running late, got to go. And so we end up falling back into our old patterns. We tried hard, and for a little bit, it worked. The problem is we slipped. We drifted. Then we get discouraged about the whole thing. And we start wondering, is there something wrong with me? Maybe it's just me. I don't have any self-discipline. I can't seem to make it work. Well, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with you. That's just the way we're built and the way we're wired. We may be just trying to live our spiritual life, not by the Spirit, but in our own strength. There were times in the past when I would be preaching, and Sundays are always... they're long days. I'm here 7-ish and getting things ready, making sure that the air is working, making sure the lights are working, making sure that the beep in the fire extinguisher things are not going off like they were this week. We're trying to take care of all that stuff, and then we've got rehearsal. So it makes for a long Sunday. And I remember telling Sandra one time, I said, man, I am just worn out. By the time noon is here, I am just flat worn out. And she goes, that's because you're doing it in your strength and not letting the Spirit do it. I'm like, shut up. I mean, you're right, but shut up, you know. And it's like, in my own strength, I can only do so much, and I'm going to wear out. It's by the Spirit, the power of God in each of us that allows us to have an effective ministry, to go on and to do these things. And the whole idea of this Christian walk is not about our self-effort. It's about being Spirit-dependent. And that's where I want to land today. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 16 through 25. It's a familiar passage. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And let's see what Paul has to say to the Galatians. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. We talked a little bit about that list of things from last week to Paul's letter to the Colossians, where he talks about, you know, what does our flesh look like? And he gets very graphic here. Sexual immorality, we talked about that. Impurity, we talked about that. Sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, all of these things. That's the way we are. That's our flesh. So the first thing we need to understand, there is a battle that is going on inside of us. There are two voices that are competing inside of us. The battle is happening inside each of us. This is what it says in verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. They're competing. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So every believer has these two competing voices. We used to see them in the cartoons, the old Bugs Bunny cartoons, where you see like little angel on one side, little devil on the other. Hey, you need to do this. You don't need to do this. You know, and this competing voice. And there is some truth to that. They don't sit on our shoulder. I mean, there are battles being waged in the spiritual realm, of course. But within us, we have our first nature, which is the flesh. The flesh is our old nature, and that makes us more self-centered. That makes us more reactive to things. We are driven by our impulses. That's our flesh. I want this, and I want it now. I want something new. I want something bigger. I want something better. You don't make me happy anymore. And it's all about how I feel in that moment. And that's our flesh. And that competes with the Spirit. And the Spirit is this new life that we have in Christ. And it's God-centered. The spirit life is guided. The spirit life is empowered. And so we have these two competing voices. And if you feel tension sometimes between doing what's right and what's wrong, between your old habits, your new desires, that's not failure. What that is the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention saying, you know better. And you do. And you feel that tension, and that's okay. It's the two voices pulling us in opposite directions. One is saying, hey, do what feels right. And the other is saying, no, follow what is right. The struggle doesn't mean you're losing at all. What it means is you are in the fight. I used to think, you know, like, oh, man, if I just got my life right with Jesus and Jesus came into my life, everything would be smooth sailing. It's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trials. But I have overcome the world. If the world hates you, don't take it personal because they hated me first. He's letting you know that you are going to be in a battle and a struggle. And if things are going along smooth, chances are you're not in the fight. You've taken yourself out of the game. I've just given in. Well, now my life's all easy. I mean, I'm not any happier. I'm not any more content. I'm not any of these things. I've just given up so I don't have to feel the Holy Spirit struggle in my life. The presence of a battle is proof that something is alive in you. Something is growing in you. And as we become Christ followers and the Holy Spirit seals us, we begin to feel that tension. Before Christ, there was no conflict. I could behave, I could do whatever I wanted, and that was okay because that's the way the world is supposed to act. But now that I have Christ, there is conviction, and that's the Holy Spirit beginning to transform me. So I've gone from just saying, hey, I believe, to now I am being shaped and transformed and molded. The second thing is, and I didn't know how to phrase this, but you become what you walk with. I wanted to say you lay down with dogs, you get fleas, but that didn't say very well. But we become who we hang out with. We become those kind of things. Here's what Paul says. He says, but I say, this is verse 16, walk by the Spirit. And when we walk, think about what that implies. It's like this daily movement. If I am walking with Margie, it is this ongoing journey. We don't just stop. It's this ongoing relationship. We are headed in the same direction over time. We are walking together. It's not a one-time experience. Oh, I did a walk today. Now I'm done. It's not a spiritual high, a mountaintop experience. It is a daily way of living, walking with the Spirit, denying yourself, walking with the Spirit. What it means, what does it mean? It means staying aware of His presence in our lives. How is God working on me, molding me, shaping me? How am I responding to His leading? How am I aligning my life to be going in the same direction that He is going? That I want to walk with God. I want to walk with Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit to lead my steps. I thought about this the last time I went hiking with Steve and Sandra. Margie stayed back at the cabin keeping things ready. And so at first, those of you that ever hiked or gone with Steve and Sandra hiking, Steve jogs up a mountain. There's no walking with Steve. If Steve feels bad, he'll go, "I'll go ahead." He disappears for a minute while you're catching your breath, and he comes back and says, "Oh, it's just right up there." Sandra was the same way, but on the last walk that we walked, I think they were more concerned about, like, "Paul, are you okay? You're turning red. Now you're turning blue. And hiking is a great way to meet people. I met two nurses, a paramedic, and a doctor. No, I'm just kidding. But I've found out that when we are walking, you try to keep that same pace. And luckily, Sandra slowed her pace down, and she says, "All right, check your heart," and I'm checking my heart. And Steve goes, "I'll be back in a minute," and he goes around to find where the next stopping point was or whatever. So when we walk with someone, we adjust our pace. We follow their lead. I wouldn't know where to go. At least Steve knows where we're going. I'm just like doing the pole and I'm just walking. And so I'm following his direction. I don't always catch up to his speed, but I'm walking in his direction. But we adjust our gait, our walk, so that we can stay close. And so I don't want to get where I'm running in front of God. "Hey, God, I got this great idea, and I need you to sign off on it. We're going to start doing this, 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 and this." I don't want to walk in front of God. I don't want to run before Him. I want to walk with Him. I want Him to lead. The song, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." And the neat thing about Jesus is He adjusts His pace. And that's the Spirit working in us. And as we first start on our journey and we're exuberant about becoming this new life in Christ, man, we are racing and we want to save the world. But then all of a sudden the world kind of hits us and we're back in our flesh and we slow down. He slows down with us. And He's still going to walk with us and give us the power of the Spirit. He will never outrun you and leave you behind. Most people, we want these occasional encounters with God. I want this mountaintop experience. I want to see healing. I want to see our prayer list go down to nothing, where God has answered everybody. You know, I want to come in one day and say, "Okay, let's pray. God, we just want to thank you because you answered every single prayer on our list." Wouldn't that be awesome? And that's the power of the Spirit. But until that day, I'm praying, and I'm thinking, "God, where are you? We don't need another like mountaintop experience or a healing. What we need is more of a consistent daily spiritual walk with God. To know that in the midst of the storm, that He is still calling us out of the boat to walk on the waves. And when we start to fall, He grabs us and helps us. Our direction is going to matter more than intensity. Even when at the gym working out, if you're thinking like, "Okay, I'm just going to do this," and you're doing this, but your form is bad, you're not doing anything except hurting yourself. It's important that our direction, our form, it matters more than the intensity. "I'm going to be the best Christian there is. I'm going to carry the biggest Bible. I'm going to carry five of them, and it's going to be in all of these different versions, just in case Paul gets up and he's reading ESV, and he's supposed to be NIV, and now we're in the NLT, and then the CBC, and then just whatever." But just stop and ask yourself, just say, God, where is your presence today? Am I aware of your presence throughout my whole day while I'm driving to work, when I'm going shopping, when I'm dealing with my kids, when I'm dealing with anything? Am I aware of your presence in my life? The third thing that Paul, I think, talks about in here is the Spirit is producing what we cannot. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. Notice it doesn't say, but the works of the Spirit are, and then we work for it. Man, I'm going to work hard at being more loving. I'm going to work hard at having joy. I'm going to work hard at having peace or patience or kindness. I'm going to work. And it doesn't say that. The idea of fruit is grown. It's cultivated. And it is developed over time. You can't hurry it. Margie and I were watching this show, and it takes place in Italy. And the guy is outside in his garden. And he goes over to like a lemon tree. And he takes like the lemon that's on the tree, and he rubs it for a minute. Then he smells it. And then he says, 2 more weeks. And, you know, me, I would have said, hey, it's yellow. Pull it down, squeeze it, make some lemonade or whatever. But there is a time. And it grows over time. You can't rush it. You can't hurry it. You don't force it. What it has to do is stay connected to the source. And it continues to grow and matures. A branch does not strain to produce fruit. What it does, it simply remains connected to the vine, and then it grows because it receives its nutrient from the source. Many times, what do? You know what? I'm going to produce love. I'm going to be more loving towards my kids, towards my spouse, towards my friends. I'm going to be more loving. And sure enough, you can for a brief time. I want to be more patient, and you can for a brief time. I want to have more self-control in my life, and you can for a brief time, but eventually you're going to fall. And when you fall, does it wear you out and you say, like, I failed again, I'm just giving up? We try to produce these things through our effort alone, but these are results, Paul says, of the Spirit's work in us, not our human striving. Let God do what God says He's going to do. The Spirit is going to produce peace in our life. The Spirit is going to give us patience, is going to give us gentleness and self-control and more love. You cannot manufacture what only the Spirit can produce. So stay connected in that relationship, and the Spirit will begin to do a transformation in your life. Growth happens when we stay connected, not when we try harder. So what are you trying to produce in your life that the Spirit is already working on? Just take a breath, and just examine yourself. And that last thing I wanted to land on is walking in the Spirit talks about and requires a daily surrender. And we've mentioned this for the last several weeks. Says this, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And those who belong, do you belong to Christ Jesus? Then you're a new creation, and you have sacrificed your flesh and desires. Walking in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, is not passive. It's not something that you just stop and you're like a kite and you get blown up into it. It involves daily surrender, denying yourself, taking up your cross daily. It's daily decisions. It's a daily alignment. Are you going to slip? Yeah, probably. But with the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, we have the opportunity to be transformed. I play the guitar. And oftentimes in my office, the temperature, you know, sometimes it gets hot, sometimes it gets cold. And so my guitar in there, sometimes when you get it and you start to play it, the strings go out. You have to continually tune your guitar. You have to tune it. It requires a change. It drifts out of tune. It needs these regular adjustments. No one drifts into spirit-led living. It's something that you choose. You're going to have to tune every single day. You're going to have to tune when you feel out of tune, out of sorts. Every day is a series of small decisions that will shape our direction. And so what do you need to surrender today? What in your life are you saying, you know what, I have been trying harder, I'm going to do better? And that's not what the Christian life is. The Christian life is walk closer and depend deeper. Trust me. Stop trying to change your life in your own strength and start walking with the one who can really make a change. The life that you're trying to build in your own strength is the life that the Spirit is ready to lead you into in faith. So go from just saying, I believe, to being transformed and living with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank you for your message. Father, I pray that all of us would begin to live our lives so that we seek your dependence every day. That we don't try to force our agenda on you, which we could never do anyway. But we try, and it frustrates us, and we fall flat. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to do this transformational work in our lives so that we can walk stronger and bolder in the Spirit day by day by day. And Father, we pray all of this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.